With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, Raider Nation. Welcome to the Believe in Raiders podcast. I'm Dennis Ackerman. Pleased to be joined by former Raider great Stanford Rout. Stan, how we doing?
Pretty good, man. Can't complain. Summertime, you got these mini camps that are just finishing up, or the OTAs. And next thing we got around the corner is training camp. So always our favorite time of the year, DA.
I know. Hard to believe training camp just a month away. It seems like the season just wrapped up. All right, Stan, let's talk about the Raiders quarterback situation. I don't know if either Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell has really taken a chokehold of the job and has established themselves as the number one starter in first-year offensive coordinator Luke Getsy's offense. Stan, let me ask you this. When we talked about Tom Brady playing, there was always that he didn't have a lot of great skill position players. He'd throw his wide receivers open. You know, he had the Wes Welkers and plays with people like that. Obviously, Randy Moss at some point, not the greatest running game. Can the Raiders' skill position guys like Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, Zamir White, can they make the Raiders' quarterback situation better?
Yeah, they can make him better. Obviously, you know, you got Devontae Adams. He's a stud receiver, and hopefully Brock Bowers is going to live up to the expectations that he had at Georgia and now being in the black and silver with the two-time, the Mackey Award winner, top tight end award in all of college football. So, yes, it can, but at the end of the day, remember, if you have two quarterbacks, you really don't have one. So somebody's going to have to separate themselves, whether it's O'Connell, whether it's Gardner Minshew. I'm not sure who it's going to be, but until this team gets their quarterback situation settled as who the guy is going to be, then I'm not sure that this team is going to be able to overcome what's going on in Kansas City, Pat Mahomes, what's going on out there in LA with now a Jim Harbaugh and obviously Justin Herbert. And now in Denver, you got a Sean Payton, and now you got a Bo Nix, who presumably is going to be the starter of the week one starter. So it just really paints a blemish, or should I say an ugly black eye on draft night when they weren't able to get obviously a Michael Penix. This is now the fallout from the lack of being able to get a quarterback in those top 12, top 13 picks that happened just about 2 months ago.
Stan, let me ask you this: with a 17 game season, now the season obviously very long with the extra game, you got a lot of quarterbacks for the most teams that can't even make it through a full season. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say they're going to use both quarterbacks. I don't know how many games one guy's going to play. I don't know how many games another guy's going to play. I see a scenario, Stan, where both of them are going to be starting this year. Who's more successful? I don't know. Who's going to lead the offense at the end of the season? I think the offense is going to look much different at the end of the year than at the beginning of the year. But, Stan, do you see a scenario where they're both playing as well?
Yeah, I see a scenario where they're both playing, just because obviously I think AP is probably going to have somewhat of a short leash on whoever the starter is going to be, unless – that person really takes the bull by the horns in training camp, in some of those preseason games, things like that. I see them having a short leash. And if they have maybe a six-quarter stretch where they throw a couple of interceptions or they make some bad reads, obviously AP is going to go ahead and probably pull them and just go to the other guy. And the one thing that you notice amongst defensive-minded head coaches. They think more of a conservative mindset. Don't turn the ball over. Let's play smart. Let's not shoot ourselves in the foot. Play good defense and things like that. And I think that that even goes to show, even within today's NFL, typically most owners slash GMs are looking for an offensive-minded head coach because they think more outside the box, more innovative, more creativity, things like that. So given the situation right now that you have with the Raiders with a defensive-minded head coach, yes, I think AP is going to be very quick to pull the trigger on yanking somebody and putting in the backup if you see turnovers, if you see bad reads, if you see putting the ball in harm's way. I think Antonio Pierce is going to have a very short leash and a short fuse with whoever the starter is at that moment.
All right, let's get our promo read in here, then we can get to the rest of the offense. And BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs. Got the NBA Finals, at least for one more game. Major League Baseball, the Stanley Cup Final, at least for one more game as well. Right to UFC and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from home. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, Stan, I want to discuss the big boys up front now who are going to be blocking for either Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. We got Colton Miller on at left tackle. Now, he hasn't participated in OTA, still recovering from offseason shoulder surgery, beg your pardon. They're going to go Jackson Powers Johnson, the rookie, at left guard. Then we've got Dylan Parham at center. Andre James at center. Dylan Parham is now going to be the right guard. And then Munford is going to be over at right tackle. Stan, how confident are you feeling about this group at this moment?
I think they're going to do an adequate job. I don't think that they're going to be one of the top five offensive line groups in the league. I don't think they're going to be bottom five. I think they're going to be mediocre, somewhere middle of the pack, which obviously, like I said, now, if you're talking about having Zamir White lead the league in rushings, like you saw Josh Jacobs do just a couple years ago, then yeah, they're going to need to be much better. But as long as they're able to simply protect whoever the quarterback is going to be, Aiden O'Connell or a Gardner Minshew, as long as they're able to protect and be able to provide some sort of lanes within the run game, that's really all you need. Because at the end of the day, yeah, you got to win in the trenches, no doubt about it. You got to be able to create penetration on both sides of the ball. But those skill guys, they're the ones that are going to go ahead and make that engine go as far as putting the ball in the end zone, putting points on the scoreboard, things like that. So I'm not as putting as much onus on how great this offensive line core can be. I just want them to be adequate enough to be able to protect the blind side or the front side of whoever the quarterback's going to be.
Now, Stan, I know you played on the defensive side of the football 8 years as a starting NFL cornerback. Can you go to the offensive side now? The Raiders are switching to a zone blocking scheme. Can you explain exactly what that is for our audience?
Okay. Well, old school football is almost kind of like playing a game of pickup basketball or sandlot football. I got him, you got him, you got him, you got him. That's how it used to be. And then right around the mid-90s, there was a guy by the name of Mike Shanahan that came along with this, what is it, zone blocking scheme, where now you have an area as an offensive lineman. You now have a certain gap that you have to be able to maintain. And whoever comes in that gap, that is now your responsibility. So a lot of the stretch run play, or should I say the running elephants, where you used to always see Terrell Davis, where he's running off tackle, or, you know, people like that. Remember the 2010s, 2011s, 2012s. Remember the Houston Texans with Arian Foster?
Yes.
And Gary Kubiak was the head coach of the Houston Texans at the time, right? Well, yep. Gary Kubiak was a part of the Denver Broncos way back then. I think he was John Elway's backup quarterback. Then eventually, I think, the offensive coordinator. So you see, it's all about that tree from the Mike Shanahan where he was the originator. And then guess what? What do the 49ers do a lot of? A lot of the zone blocking scheme by his son, Kyle Shanahan. So zone blocking scheme is much like the zone coverages on the defense side of the ball where you have an area. You don't have a specific man. So when it comes to the offensive line, you now have a certain gap. You have a certain area that you need to be able to, anybody that enters that gap, you now have that person, and you got to be able to push them out of the way, creating those lanes for the Christian McCaffreys of the world. And now we see it was Zamir White with the Las Vegas Raiders in the zone blocking scheme that they're now about to employ.
Stan, is that a tough adjustment going from man-to-man blocking to zone?
It's about as tough as it is going from man-to-man coverage to zone coverage. Yes, it is definitely a difference. Something that obviously from a physical standpoint, you can do it, but it's more about the mental where now you have to pre-snap assessment a lot more where it's no longer, I got that guy, he's got that guy. So it's very simple. Now it's a little bit more methodical. It's a little bit more cerebral where now you got to think a little bit more pre-snap. And even now during the play where you just now have to be able to decipher if there's any sort of twist, any sort of stunt by that defensive line. Now you have a different guy than you otherwise probably would have had pre-snap.
All right, let's go to your side of the football now. Dan, the Raiders defense, it returns 9 starters. They added, obviously, another one in Christian Wilkins. And it leaves your old position, outside corner, is basically the one slot that's open. That's between Brandon Faison and Jacorian Bennett. He's in his second season now. Faison is going to be in his 7th season. Obviously, Stan, he has the advantage when it comes to experience. Bennett, he did have a role as a rookie. He started a few games. Yeah. Then he lost his starting position. Stan, you played this position for 8 years in the NFL. What is the biggest adjustment, or how much more knowledge is Bennett going to have going from year 1 to year 2?
Oh, he's going to have a whole lot more knowledge just because the game's going to slow down just a little bit more to him. He'll actually be able to actually hear himself or feel himself think. You know, I remember my rookie year, everything is going so fast that you're literally just out there reacting. So once you have that all season, be able to get a base now up underneath you where now you're able to start to notice things. You're now able to start to read and start to assess and now be able to anticipate a 2x2 set versus a 3x1 set. The receiver on the inside edge of the numbers, the outside edge of the numbers, the backfield set, any sort of motion or shift that can completely change the complexity of any play that the offense is trying to run against you. But when you're a young guy, when you're a rookie, you're simply just trying to get the call and understand that, okay, they just called a cover 3. Okay, now I got deep third. Now it's a man-to-man coverage. Let me go and find my guy. Well, now everything slows down to you because, okay, you know what? I've heard these calls before. I already know what I'm doing. Now what's the next step? Trying to decipher. What are they trying to do to me? What is this receiver trying to do to me? That is the next step. So he's definitely going to have a bigger jump from his rookie year now to his second year. And they always say the biggest jump you'll make in production, the biggest jump you'll make in talent or skill in the NFL is from your first year to your second year, not from college to your rookie year.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
So, Stan, both things, let's say training camp, both things being equal, Faison and Bennett, they're head-to-head, they're neck-and-neck. Who would you go as the starter? One guy who has a lot more experience or Bennett just in his second year, who might have a lot more upside and a lot more years left.
If it's even, I'd probably go with a young guy just because we don't think right now, presently assembled, that this Raiders team can actually contend for a championship, cannot make a deep push for, let's say, divisional round or AFC title game type of aspirations. We don't think that. So right now, you got to build your team. You got to make sure that you're now in position for years to come to be that type of team that can actually challenge the Kansas City Chiefs year in and year out in the playoffs, not just one faithful Saturday, Sunday, or even Monday afternoon late in the regular season for a victory. So I think if it's even, I would say go with the young guy just because he's got more upside. You can build with him. You feel like with Faison, you already know what he is. We don't know what Jacorian Bennett can become. So I would go with the young guy if it's even. Now, if Faison is the clear better player in training camp, he's going to be the starter. And then, obviously, Bennett will fill in as the fourth corner, maybe sometimes in nickel packages, dime packages, what have you. But if it's close, then go with the young guy.
Well, Stan, you talked about building something, and the Raiders look like they are actually building something. They have a long-term plan. Listen to this, Stan. The Raiders have 11 projected starters who are still on their rookie contracts. Yeah. How about Zamir White, Trey Tucker, Brock Bowers, Jackson Powers Johnson, Dylan Parra, Munford. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you got Malcolm Kuntz, Divine Diablo, Jack Jones, Nate Hobbs, and Trayvon Merrick. And Stan, if you just mentioned Bennett, and then if we get O'Connell, if they win their respective position battles, you add two more right there. And then you still got Michael Mayer, defensive end Tyree Wilson. Let's see what he does. So, Stan, I know this has got to be strange for you because when you were playing for the Raiders, it was year by year where it actually looked like they're building something long-term moving forward. How do you feel about what they're doing right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's just pretty much what the name of the game is. You know, the NFL is always trying to get younger. They want to get those guys on those younger contracts. And if you can have the nucleus of your team, much like the Green Bay Packers, while they ran the Dallas Cowboys off the field wild card weekend, if you can have the nucleus of your team being younger guys who are obviously now the better players on that roster, it shows that you're going to be able to have success for a lengthy period of time. You look at the Atlanta Falcons right now, they got a lot of talent out there and a lot of young guys. All they needed was a quarterback. You saw when they took Kirk Cousins, I'm sorry, when they signed Kirk Cousins and then took Michael Penix. So it could be a good thing, but we all know once you get deeper in the regular season, sometimes those rookies, they hit that wall, or in the playoffs, that's when now you need those veterans that can be leaders in those situations. So it's a double-edged sword, but you can definitely have a lot of stability and a lot of longevity within the success department with a lot of young guys being the nucleus, or should I say the better players on your roster.
Stan, I've always felt, you know, in football and in the NBA and basketball as well, you build your team through the draft.
Absolutely.
And then you go out and you add pieces in free agency, because I feel like if a veteran is a free agent and he sees, hey, this young team right now, man, they're building. They got some good young pieces. And if I could add myself to the mix, then I got something working. Where I feel like, and Stan, let me ask you this, with the Raiders, didn't you feel like it was just year to year? It was just kind of a get under the salary cap, get as much talent. There really wasn't a long-term plan. It was almost year to year when you were playing for the Raiders.
Yeah. Yes, I felt like that pretty much most of my time there, that it was always year to year. There really wasn't a long-term plan and things like that. And, you know, obviously that was our Achilles heel, which really hurt us down the stretch many times over. So you got to have a long-term plan. You got to have a big picture type of theory. And if you don't, you're literally just out there year to year, just kind of out there just playing. Just because there's no higher up, there's no bird's eye view, there's no vantage point that's looking at it from the big picture. So, yeah, I'm right there with you that you have to have that vision. And one thing that I learned, just even in as a player, as a coach, what have you, in any industry, you got to be intentional, which means every decision that you make, every method that you want to incur, you have to be intentional with, okay, this is our plan. Every action that we make from here on out is going to be in lockstep to try to go ahead and accomplish that plan, accomplish that objective or that goal. So that's the main thing, is you got to be intentional. And to be intentional, you first have to identify what the goal is.
All right, Stan. Well, you mentioned coaching. You mentioned building something for the future. You got some coaching news. Why don't you share it with our audience?
I'm now the corners coach at Valparaiso University, FCS school in Northern Indiana, and I could not be more excited and more fired up to get started and get this year going.
How are you guys going to be? Tell us a little bit more about the team.
Oh, man. Like I said, it just remains to be seen. Last year wasn't so good. Hopefully this year is going to be much better. We're going to be flying around on defense, making some plays. So you will definitely see a difference in the defense, the secondary, and the team coming into this season. So I'm fired up. Shout out to Coach Landon Fox for hiring me. Love him. So I just could not be more excited to get this thing going. And I'm now going to be running my own room, per se, because I'll be the corners coach, not the assistant corners coach or anything like that. And I just could not be more grateful. I couldn't be more excited.
Stan, you mentioned that. Now, this is your position group. How do you approach that for the first time in your coaching career?
Oh, well, you know, obviously I was the corners coach in high school. So I have a little bit of experience, not college, but being the assistant corners coach, you know, obviously I love my time in University of Houston. Doug Belk, shout out to him. He's the one that gave me my first collegiate opportunity. And I learned a lot from him. So all it is really just taking everything that I've learned, whether it was me as a player and within coaching, and now just presenting it to the kids. And the main thing is you got to be authentic. That they got to be able to believe you. They got to be able to trust you. They got to be willing to follow you. And so I already have a great wealth of knowledge that I've learned from Rod Woodson, Willie Brown, God rest his soul, Kevin Ross, people like that, that have coached me over the years, Emmett Thomas with the Kansas City Chiefs. I could go all the way down the list. So I already have a great wealth of knowledge, even learning from Nnamdi Asamoah, Charles Woodson. And I just take that and I just convey a lot of my experiences, a lot of my trials, tribulations, and errors that I've made within the game. And I just go ahead and try to convey it to the kids. And, you know, obviously it's a learning experience because, you know, now I have, let's say, 20 minutes of an indie peer where now everything that we got to work on, we got to do within these 20 minutes. So you got to learn to be efficient and things like that. But nonetheless, learning from David Rowe, Doug Belk, that were the DB coaches with the Houston Cougars last year. Obviously, they taught me a lot, and I can't wait to take what they've taught me and now branch that over into Northern Indiana with, obviously, the Valparaiso Beacons.
Well, congratulations, my man. That's quite
thank you compliment. Very much, man.
Stan, you're a Texas guy. It's warm down there, man. You got cold weather here for Indiana.
Listen, I'll tell you this, DA, you're absolutely right. Like, big difference in the climate. Now, due to my years, 2007 and 2011, early to mid-December, playing in Green Bay. If you've ever been in Green Bay in December, I remember telling myself after that game, along with Cleveland and Pittsburgh a couple of times, and Kansas City, things like that, I remember telling myself, I will never say anything is cold ever again. So being in Green Bay, obviously playing in Minnesota a couple times in November in 2007 and I believe 2011 with the Raiders back then. Obviously, the game is indoors, but just being up there in Minneapolis in November, in the cold, in the snow, things like that, I'm now used to it. I'm not saying I love it, but it's something that obviously I'll be able to get through with now being a part of the North Indiana environment and the climate and just, you know, the community. So it's definitely going to be a fun experience, man. I can't wait.
Yes, Dan, you mentioned, I think it was 2007 when the Raiders played in Green Bay, and I went to the game as yep. a fan, and I think it was like 13 degrees at kickoff.
Something ridiculous.
And my eyes were watering because it was so cold that I'm like, oh my God. And you know, the Raiders got killed, and it was just like, mm-hmm. oh my God.
That's what it's all about, man. Yeah. I remember going out there, and I, you know, obviously it's a DB, as a football player, you know, some guys wear sleeves, some guys don't. I don't really like to wear sleeves because I don't want to have any apparatus on my body that's going to remind me that it's cold outside. So let me go ahead and make sure I stay warm. I feel like that's going to take away from my tenacity and my intensity on the football field. But once again, that's my personal opinion. That's not everybody else's. And I just remember after I made it out of that game, I was like, you know what? I didn't die. I didn't break my leg. I didn't like catch pneumonia or something like that and die on the field. You know what? I'll never say anything is cold ever again after that game, just because I did it.
Right.
I got through it. I survived it. Yeah, it was cold. But after the first quarter, you don't really feel it. So from that point on, I was just like, you know what? Okay, I'm not going to choose to go and just want to play in Buffalo in December or January or Kansas City. But you know what? I'm not a schedule maker. If the schedule comes out, just like remember what I was telling you about a couple weeks ago with the schedule release, players really just look for, okay, the cold weather games. Are we playing at that team in November, December, or January? So once you see that, okay, you know what? We got Pittsburgh again in November. Okay, you know what? We got Kansas City again in December. Okay, you know what? We got Kansas City or Denver in, you know, early January. It's just something that, okay, you know what? I know it's going to be cold, but I know I can get through it because I've already done it before.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations again, my friend. Very, very happy for you. All right, Raider Nation, that's going to do it for another edition of the Believe in Raiders podcast presented by BetOnline.ag. For my partner, Stanford Rapp, I'm Dennis Ackerman. Thanks so much for listening, and may all your punts find the coffin corner.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.